Now, though, we're going to talk about dinosaurs. You've been to the Natural History Museum in London.
Yep.
You've seen the Diplodocus.
I've seen a Diplodocus. I saw no Diplodocus, but I saw a Diplodocus.
When I was a child, I called it a Diplodocus, and I'm sticking with it.
You
right
may be
or
right.
Wrong. Anyway, that impressive neck that sweeps along the main hall welcoming its visitors, isn't it an amazing sensation?
It is.
The first time you see that as a child and you just look up open-mouthed in wonder. Well, now, it seems it might not have looked like that in real life. New findings suggest that 150 million years ago, the giant dinosaur may even have held its head higher for much of the time, a bit like a giraffe, I suppose. Well, Dr. Mike Taylor is from the University of Portsmouth and was part of the research team. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
First of all, is it Diplodocus or Diplodocus?
I'm afraid the answer is the worst possible one. It could be either or it could be both. There's no official answer.
Right, OK, you're not going to referee that
that's
one.
That's
the best
possible
enough.
Answer, I think, isn't it?
Yes, so, yeah.
We're both right.
We can continue to argue about it as well.
Or both
so
wrong,
that's
depending
brilliant.
On which way you look at it.
But it does mean that even scientists don't understand what each other are talking about half the while.
Tell me about this new research of yours, then.
Well, what we did is look at the way the animals we have alive with us today behave and how they hold their necks, and in particular, how that compares with the way the neck bones on their own would seem to fit together best. And what we found is that for everything from birds and mammals to crocodiles to some extent, everything has the bones in the neck not put together in the way that seems to fit best, but in a way that's arched up very, very strongly at the base of the neck.
That would seem almost counterintuitive. Perhaps I'm being too influenced by having seen the skeleton in the Natural History Museum in the position it's in. But given the length of that neck, you'd imagine it'd be an enormous effort to hold it more upright.
Oh, no, not at all. It's much more of an effort to hold this out straight. If you imagine doing that with your own hand, if you hold, say, a carton of juice or something that weighs a kilogram in your hand and hold it out horizontally, then you can imagine your arm getting tired much more quickly than if you hold it straight out above your head. Because the weight's pulling in a different way.
Oh,
and the
I see.
Same would have been true with the necks.
So why is it, do you think, we haven't put two and two together in that way before now?
Well, historically, the earliest depictions of sauropods, which are the very large dinosaurs with the long necks that we're talking about here, did mostly have their necks quite high in the air and looking around periscope-like. And it's really in the last 20 years, mostly, that picture has begun to change. Largely because of work that's looked at the bones in isolation and not really thought too much about how they relate to the animal as a whole.
But there'd be no point in having a long neck if you didn't stick it up, would there?
Not very much point, no. There are various suggestions that people have tried to come up with to explain what the long neck is doing there if you're not using it to browse high up.
Yeah.
But they're not very convincing to my mind.
But this is the business of that you're involved in, isn't it? A lot of it has to be guesswork, doesn't it, and putting two and two together and trying to get to four rather than three or five.
Yes, but of course we scientists say hypothesis instead of guesswork, and then that sounds much more impressive.
Yeah, but I mean, for all we know, dinosaurs may have been purple like Barney. This is all guesswork.
Actually, it's pretty likely that some dinosaurs were purple.
Really?
Which one? Brilliant.
Really? Well, you know, their closest remaining relatives are the birds. In fact, birds are dinosaurs. And we know that birds come in all sorts of bright colours, and they're displaying, particularly the males, often are very bright colours for showing off to the females. And there's no reason to think that the more primitive dinosaurs that lived back in the Mesozoic weren't doing something similar.
So why do we always paint them green?
Well, it's probably because most of the paintings are of the larger dinosaurs, and if you look around the animals we have now, you see the bigger an animal gets, usually the more drab its colouring is. So elephants and rhinos and hippos are all this rather dull, undistinguished grey.
Is there a hypothesis for why that is, Mike?
There may well be, but now I'm way off piece.
Right, OK. It's fascinating, this. I wonder if also we're influenced by lizards and that kind of thing, because we tend to think that they look prehistoric and therefore that influences our image of dinosaurs. We don't necessarily associate them with birds.
You're right, that does happen. But in fact, even the sauropods in many ways had a lot more in common with birds than with lizards, surprising as that is. You know, it's weighing 100 tonnes, but nevertheless, kind of bird-like.
And explain why that is, then.
Well, there's very good evidence, for example, that sauropods had lungs that are similar to the lungs of birds, which are very different from the way mammal lungs work. And that's why birds can function so high up, and you know there are geese that can fly 6 miles up in the air. And they extract oxygen from the air about twice as efficiently as mammals do because of the lung design. And that design leaves traces in the skeleton, because there are many places in the skeleton of a bird where there are holes in the bone where air invades the bone and it lightens the skeleton. Gosh. We see the same thing in lots of dinosaurs, so that's a good clue for how the lungs worked.
So will the Natural History Museum have to shift the Diplodocus's neck upwards? And is
or the Diplodocus's neck.
Yes, indeed, yes. And is the ceiling high enough to enable them to do that?
Well, the ceiling is very, very high at the Natural History Museum. They'd have no problems if they wanted to remount it. But they won't want to, and they don't need to. And the reason is, although we believe that that animal would have spent most of its life with its neck well raised, it would have been able, of course, to get its head down to ground level to drink. So the posture it's in there is a perfectly good intermediate posture. It's just not how it would have spent most of its life.
Brilliant. Fascinating stuff, Mike. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Birds have lungs? I didn't know that.
Yes,
I didn't know half of that stuff. I suppose
how
I must
do you
have
think
done.
They breathe?
I never spent much time thinking about it. Mark Buckley, the travel, please.